This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.
Good morning. Or good afternoon.
You ready to start?
Or good evening.
I guess we're kind of easing into it this morning.
Here we are.
Welcome.
Not even a lot of banter this morning.
There you go. Welcome. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Gaddafi's pretty tough. Fifth straight night of airstrikes unable to stop Gaddafi.
No.
That's what it says.
Wow.
Five straight nights, coalitions have pounded targets, and they're unable to stop his armor.
Shocking. Shocking. Well, you go ahead and start.
Okay.
Are you going to, do you want me to start?
Hang on, I have a good start. Hang on. Stand by.
I still have my Charlie Sheen soundboard hooked up here if you need it.
So. We may need that based on the way we're starting it.
We just need to do an intro to the show, that's all.
$16,453,474,471 downloads.
Whoa!
That's what I'm going to start with today.
Amazing.
That's so far the statistics in the first, I think it's the third day now, that you can download Firefox 4.0, and it is selling, although it's free, like hotcakes. And I've installed it on two of my machines.
Yeah.
And I like it. I think it is definitely faster. It's kind of chromey looking.
Yep.
In a way. They've gotten rid of some of the toolbars. They've condensed the menus up into the upper left-hand corner. Most of your plugins should work for Firefox. I've only had a couple that I'm using that have said they're not going to work.
I think that the fact Google Gears doesn't work yet is a little bit of a big deal.
That's what you said. Now, do you use Google Gears quite a bit?
Well, I have it. I have like the Google Gears up, whatever plugin or whatever it is installed for my WordPress stuff. It just makes the pages load a little quicker when you, and maybe they've changed that. It's very possible they've changed that. But back when I first started doing WordPress, I put it in there because it kind of just loads the page into Google Gears. And there's something else I use Google Gears for. Maybe Google Voice or something like that requires Google Gears. So yeah, I use a few things there. Did Chrome require Google? No, Chrome wouldn't because it's something separate. So, but yeah, something I use requires Google Gears, but I can't remember what it is.
Hmm.
But I just think it's interesting that, of all things, Google is behind on getting the Firefox update going. But Chrome works great, so we're good there.
Well, another stat I found about Firefox, Adam,
yeah,
is that Internet Explorer 9, which was released about 2 weeks ago, I think it's okay. 10 days to 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Has only about 4.5 million downloads to date. And we're in just the first 36 hours, and we're at over, what did I just tell you, 16 million downloads for Firefox. Now, with Internet Explorer 9, Microsoft decided not to support Windows XP. So the highest you can go with Internet Explorer in Windows XP is Internet Explorer 8. So only if you're running Vista or Windows 7 can you get Internet Explorer 9.
Interesting.
I am not one of those 4+ million that have downloaded Internet Explorer 9. I downloaded the release candidate a few weeks ago, and it's just sitting in my downloads folder. So I'll have to get the new version here pretty soon. Is there a Mac version?
I'm waiting. Yes. It says available only for PCs running on Windows. How to run Internet Explorer 9 on your Mac. Oh, you need to have Parallels and all that. I was looking to see because I heard rumors
that they might release one?
Yeah, and
I don't know why.
Internet Explorer 9 download Mac.
I think the last Mac version was Internet Explorer 5, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the last one.
And that was in the early part of the 2000s.
You know, I'm not sure why they would do it unless it has something to do with being able to use ActiveX or something like, which I mean, I don't know how they would do that. So
I don't either.
But that's all I can think of.
Almost seems like ActiveX isn't utilized as much as it used to because of the flaws.
Because Firefox and Chrome
are so ubiquitous,
it's kind of the same thing as it's happening to Flash because of Apple. Mm-hmm. People are not using it because it's not being used, and so they're, you know, having to develop around it.
And yesterday on Twitter, I had a follower call me. It's John Guitarman. You know John Guitarman.
Yeah.
He said that he couldn't run Silverlight in new Firefox 4.
Oh.
And on his Mac, on his Macintosh. But he said it works fine in Chrome, but the only application he uses that is Silverlight is
Netflix.
There you go. So there's another technology from Microsoft that
dumb old Silverlight.
Yeah, and I don't know why Netflix continues to do that. There's a huge Linux following out there. In fact, I think there's a Facebook page and blogs and everything else to try to convince Netflix to use a more standard or a different streaming software, because Silverlight is it was Microsoft's answer to Flash, or maybe not necessarily Flash.
No, I think it was probably, well, not the animation part of Flash, but certainly the movie viewing, QuickTime maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of a QuickTime Flash video sort of thing, yeah.
And they wanted it to be cross-platform, but they only have it running in Mac and PCs.
Right.
So Linux users who would love to be able to stream Netflix are not using it. So Netflix users just continue, I mean, Ubuntu and Linux users just continue to use BitTorrent.
Right.
So in other words, Microsoft is promoting piracy. Wouldn't you say that by relation?
I would say in some ways. Yeah, you could certainly say
we could extrapolate that.
Yeah, because if you just can't see it, and really there are those people who Firefox, they don't know any other browser. They don't understand Chrome or Safari or any of those things.
Now, to switch gears a little bit into something we don't talk about.
Here's a little update on that for people who are out there doing some
streaming
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is Netflix
running
in Firefox, but in order for that to work on Snow Leopard is what I'm using,
which is a Mac.
Yeah. In order for that to run on Snow Leopard, you do have to kick Firefox down to 32-bit mode.
Okay, and he might have mentioned that in his tweet.
Yep.
So did it ask you to do that?
Yeah, it asked me, and I said kick into 32, and it did this fine. And now we're watching some High Noon.
Some High Noon.
It's a classic.
Can't get much better than High Noon.
Oh man, look at that.
That's beautiful.
You know,
you have it playing over.
You didn't have to be handsome. Yeah, I do. You didn't have to be handsome to be a Western star when Westerns first began.
In fact, it was almost good not to be.
Yeah,
it was nice to be rugged and looking like a. Like a real cowboy.
Absolutely.
Although there may have been some handsome cowboys. I don't want to take away from the cowboy genre.
But these are,
But you always think of cowboys as being kind of rugged people.
Right. And these guys are rugged.
Yeah, wearing leather, and that's very nice.
Exactly. Very cool.
Very cool.
So anyway, there we go.
So that's some Firefox 4 news.
Little update there.
So I would recommend, I'm saying early on, we're only second or third day into the downloads and updates of Firefox 4, but I would say get it. I think that they made a lot of improvements in speed, and that was one of the things that I think kind of started to tarnish Firefox for a while, is when they came out with version 3, it was quite a bit more of a memory hog and a little slower than version 2 was, and then they did 3.5 and 3.6, which weren't much better.
Right.
But I think 4.0 is a lot snappier, it certainly opens faster, and I do think it browses pretty quick.
It has a spacious bookmarks bar. I like that too. Nice and open. Mm-hmm. They use a nice font for it, so it doesn't clutter up. Now here's something I'm noticing, and maybe this is just me. I am old fashioned. I'm getting one of those people that have been around the internet
for a long time.
So there's things that I do by habit.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's only been in the last year, 2 years maybe, that I quit typing the www before my URLs. so I mean, that's where I'm at. I'm a creature of habit. I don't see a home button.
It's on the far right-hand side.
Oh, good.
Right next to the super bar.
So what I can do is I can actually drag that little home button over, as long as I have my customize open. Ah, sweet. Okay, good. Then I'm all right with that then.
Yeah, in fact, I did, believe it or not, I did watch the two videos that they put out. When you first install Firefox 4, it says, see what's new, and then get to know your browser.
Right.
So I did watch
I should have done that, and I saw that, and I...
Yeah.
Just figured I'd ask you instead, because that's always better.
Good. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. A lot quicker.
Hey, another, switching gears just a little bit.
Sure.
Is the Nintendo is coming out with a 3DS.
Yes.
Next
week. Already. Oh, is it? I thought it was out on the shelf already. Maybe it wasn't.
No, it's a 3DS. It's a 1 week. It's been 1 week in.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it was on.
See, I'm not a gamer. That's why I shouldn't even talk about it.
But so, it's, no, it's important. There's a lot of cool stuff about this. It's kind of like the Kinect or the PSP or something like that. There's some technology involved there. What's the buzz been around it? Well, it just has some technology involved that's actually, you know, getting attention. The device itself isn't getting fantastic reviews because it is just a Game Boy, but one of the things that's neat about it, it has a special way of doing the 3D so that you don't need glasses. And it has a 3D screen on it. The top screen's 3D, but it has this cool adjustment so that the 3D works with different people. So some people can't see 3D because they have a slightly, you know, their eyes are slightly misaligned or something like that. But it has this way of sliding the 3D and adjusting it for your eyes. And there's been a couple articles I read that said that the way that they're doing that 3D is actually going to help some doctors eye doctors diagnose certain vision problems because of that. And there's several things like that that, you know, it's kind of getting some buzz. The way they do the 3D couldn't possibly be used for TV or anything like that, but it can be used for more devices like cell phones and stuff. So it wouldn't be surprising to see, I don't know why, but you might see 3D cell phones before long. So
now, is it about the same footprint as the old
It's a little bit bigger.
It's a little bit bigger.
Yeah, but intentionally. Okay. I mean, I'm sure they could have made smaller screens and stuff, but they did go for a big one so that they could have a nice large screen and all of that. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it has two cameras on the back.
Why is there two?
Because it shoots 3D pictures.
Oh, wow.
See, so each camera shoots from a different angle.
I see that there
are
two
can shoot
eyes on the back of that cover.
And it also has a 2D mode, too. So if you don't like the 3D, you can turn it off and just play your games in
2D. Did they put a different internet browser in this particular version?
I don't know.
I didn't
read anything about the browsing stuff and all of that, but it's the DS, Nintendo DS devices have always had some cool Wi-Fi stuff, but not a great browser. They've used Opera in the past, but you don't want to use it to browse the web.
And what's the price? $249 or $199?
You know what? I'm not sure. I haven't even looked at the price yet.
And then I'm wondering about backward compatibility.
Yeah, it has that as far as it's a DS game.
Okay. Well, very interesting. So I think, here it is. It says the best thing to do is play some DS games. You get about 5 to 8 hours of battery life, it's saying.
Yeah, it looks like it's $249 MSRP.
That's what I thought I saw on this.
That puts it up there as being more expensive than an Xbox 360.
What was the old Nintendo DS? Was it $199 or was it also
$249? Well, there's been some $199, some $129s. And, I mean, every time, the thing that Nintendo does is they lower the price of the old one.
And keep it on the market.
Whenever they release the new one. And so you almost can go back sometimes three generations.
Oh, wow.
When you get a DS, because they have so many models out there. The DS Lite and the whatever the other ones are. But there's the one that has the big screens on it now. But anyway, the DS is a cool device. It's not as cool as it used to be now that we have the iPad and so many smartphones. Mm-hmm. But it used to be such a cool device, no matter for all ages, because it had so much, you know, so many little brain training games and crossword puzzle programs and Sudoku things and, you know, stuff like that, that it was a neat little pastime thing. But now that we've got smartphones, doesn't have quite the draw it used to. And now that the iPhone's on Verizon, but there's still some stuff that makes it innovative.
Cool. All right. For switching gears from, you know what I need to do before I get going too far?
Yes.
Is somebody did pay us $1 this week to answer their
question.
Sweet.
Let's do it.
So it was Jackie from West Seneca, New York.
Cool.
And just for the heck of it, just to let you know, I finally looked. When we get a donation for $1 on the site, that translates into 67 cents net.
Ooh, nice.
So this is a 67 cent
Did you look
question.
To see what 2 cent net we netted off that for 2 cent question a couple weeks ago?
No, I didn't. I wonder if they even bothered taking anything out of that.
I don't think they probably do. Maybe we should just have 2 billion people donate 2 cents each, and maybe
That would be okay.
Yeah,
I'd be okay with that.
Then maybe
that'd be just
PayPal
half
wouldn't
the
take
population
out
of China. So.
Right.
Or roughly. A little bit more than half. All right. Jackie from West Seneca, New York, ponied up the dollar.
Okay.
To get this question asked. And I haven't read it yet till just now. So I enjoy playing Farmville.
Really?
I recently downloaded the free Internet Explorer 9, and now I cannot share or post items for the other players. in Explorer. I'm using Explorer 9 compatible with Vista.
Okay, stop or, doing that.
Oh, is Explorer 9 compatible with Vista? Well, it's supposed to be, Jackie. Explorer 9 is supposed to be compatible with Vista and Windows 7. Now, she didn't say when she downloaded it because this message, well, she did, the message is dated 5 days ago.
Okay.
So that means it probably was the final release.
You know, I'm betting she's bought a new computer by now if she's been without her Farmville for 5 days.
So she decided that waiting
you
for
you just can't do
it.
Yeah, you just can't do that. It's,
I would say download Firefox or Google Chrome.
Definitely.
Firefox 4 is out. Be one of the 16 million people that is now using.
You'll be fine. Firefox 4 or Firefox 3 or
you'll be
Chrome
growing asparagus before the asparagus season ends.
If you really want to be weird, do the Safari thing. I mean,
on PC.
On PC, yeah. I mean, there's so many different options. Get rid of it. Internet Explorer 9. That's ubiquitous. We could tell, or across the board. I mean, that's a better way of saying it. That's information we would tell any person we talk to, no matter how they use their computer. Use Internet Explorer, or use
Firefox. Or Google Chrome.
Or Google Chrome.
Yeah, don't worry. And you can go, because Internet Explorer 9 is not a required part of Vista or Windows 7,
right,
you can go in to add and remove programs and roll it out of there.
Yeah.
So if you're having that big of problems, but don't even bother with it. Just use Firefox.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I just clicked on another question. This is not a pay question, but this is an interesting one.
Okay.
Evelyn Smith from South Bend, Indiana,
cool,
also using Windows Vista.
Yep.
Our son claimed himself on his tax return.
Okay.
But we also claimed him.
Oh,
how can
my gosh
we change that when the government has accepted his form?
Ooh.
Well, neither one of us are CPAs or lawyers. I would say leave it alone until you get audited.
Yeah,
that's my answer.
Don't worry about it. You'll be just
fine. Remember my proviso that I'm not a CPA or a lawyer.
Yes.
But I am a somewhat of a government watchdog, and I know they don't watch things very closely.
Yeah.
So maybe South Bend, Indiana won't be hit with a whole string of audits this year.
Right.
And you'll both get your rebates.
We really hope that it works out for you. But you can always call.
I don't know how they thought that would.
I would call Quicken. That's what I'd do.
Call Quicken?
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll be able to fix it for you.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good. And then here's one other. We have some weird questions this month.
Good.
This one's from Steve in Roswell, New Mexico, and he puts down his zip code. And then the body of the message is fax test.
Oh, man.
I thought that was pretty funny.
It is good.
All right, so we have quite a few more questions there. We'll from all around Tennessee, Austin, Colorado, Yanam.
Okay,
wherever that is, India, London, Overland Park, Kansas,
wow,
Carbondale, Colorado, Washington, Grand Junction, Albuquerque, Grand Junction, the UK, and France.
Okay,
so we'll kind of
get a lot of those.
We'll come back to those in a few minutes. But I do want to switch gears one more time. We talked a little bit about games, which we very rarely do. We talked about Firefox.
Okay.
And now I would like to switch gears and ask you, Mr. Adam.
Okay.
Samsung Epic. Is that what you're using?
Yes, that's what I'm using.
Samsung Epic, which is a
Android
phone.
Sure.
I went and clicked on a Nexus ad the other day, the new Nexus S.
Yes.
And the Nexus S, they showed off the new Google Voice Search.
Right.
And you can download the Google Voice Search for any version of Android, the
sure
update.
Okay.
And the new Google Voice Search, they have a little feature now that if you accept the agreement, they'll start recording your voice so that it'll improve the already excellent voice search even further.
Cool.
But they've improved it to the point now where you can more accurately say, call Durango Bagel in Grand Junction, Colorado. And within
seconds,
that would
be nice.
It dials it.
Yep.
Or you can say, text Adam Cochran, are you going to be at dinner tonight? And then
cool
it does it. So it's a lot more powerful. If you have Gingerbread, you're not running Gingerbread.
I'm not running Gingerbread. In fact, I'm still running the old
2.1.
Really? Yeah. I haven't upgraded to 2.2. Because
is it available for yours?
It is.
Okay.
But I don't want to break my
oh, you jailbreak?
Since I jailbroke it, I don't want to have to re-jailbreak it and I'll mess with all that on a new one. So
oh, okay.
I've been reading mixed things about jailbreaking the Epic, so it works great on 2.1, and I'm happy with it.
So you're just going to maybe stay with it?
Well, until I read more about 2.2. Compelling. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to.
If you have Gingerbread.
This one computer guy once told me, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping it at 2.1.
But you already broke it at 2.1.
No. I mean, 2.1 is working perfect for me, okay. So I don't have any reason to upgrade. So.
I gotcha. One of the other things you can do if you're using Gingerbread, I tried this last night on my friend's, on her Android.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things it showed in the video, which is kind of cool, it said set alarm for 5:30 tomorrow.
Ooh.
And that's kind of cool.
You could
just tell your phone that, but you have to have Gingerbread or a compatible alarm.
Right.
And I didn't find a compatible alarm right away.
Right.
But there are some other, you can do directions that way. You can say,
cool,
give me directions to Rick Castellini's house, you know, if you have them in your address book, or you can say, give me directions to Instrom's in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Oh, that's really cool.
And then it'll find it and immediately start your GPS.
Wow.
So cool. Very cool improvements. Yeah. But I really like the fact that they decided, and I believe what it's going to do, because if you accept the license, and I didn't read the license, of course,
right.
But if you accept the license to record your voice to improve the search engine further, the voice search engine, I bet it's going to be kind of like the 1-800-GOOG, where they're going to compile all that data.
Right, I'm sure.
Wouldn't you think?
I'm sure that's.
So it's probably in the license if you read it.
Yeah, right.
But if you're
now that they got rid of 1-800 or GOOG 411,
right?
Now that they've got rid of that, they need something to be able to keep perfecting it, and it definitely has a few flaws, and so it will be nice when they start incorporating that. That's cool.
But I would say if you're a Google Android user, if you're an Android phone user, go ahead and try the new Google Voice Search. So you have to search for Google Voice Search in your Android marketplace and then download that new version.
Excellent.
And it really does improve a lot of things. But I still think that's the killer feature of the Android phones. The fact that they're... I really don't like the fragmentedness, if you'll allow me to use that word.
It's the fragmentationness.
Okay, fragmentationness of the Android market, because you do
have... Fragmentitude.
2.1, 2.2, then you have Gingerbread.
Right.
And, you know, you have all these things, and so for the consumer, they really don't know that.
Right.
But for the geeks like us, it gets difficult to follow, and you got to know what phone will work properly with it, whether the company who makes your phone or even the service provider will allow that.
Right.
So that's the one thing I still like about the Apple
is because
the ecosystem is so well controlled.
You know, that's the thing. It just works. Strength, its weakness is also its strength. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing else really like that I can think of that really works that way. But yeah, the fact that Apple is so closed is what makes it so good.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're wanting to do one of those things that requires it not to be closed, and that's where you get kind of a, you know, you want to install an app that lets you do something and Apple says you can't do it, you can't do it, and that's, you know, it is weird, but
and I'm going to switch gears one more time.
Sure.
And so we're doing a lot of gear switching today.
That's okay.
And
I should have a gear grinding noise.
That'd be nice while we go. Yeah, go like ahead. Somebody's going from third to fifth or something.
Uh-huh.
But I would like to say, I just saw Adam open up his iPad.
Yep.
And he has it password protected.
Yes.
I like that. And so did you do that on your old one?
No, I never did. I always intended to, but I hadn't done it yet.
And I think that's worthwhile talking. I think you also have your phone password protected, don't you?
Yep.
Because you're using the little slider thing.
The phone for a different reason than the iPad. The iPad I keep password protected because I don't want my students or somebody just picking it up and playing with it. You know,
without
my permission.
Right.
The phone, if somebody finds it, I don't want them to be able to get into it and read my or listen to my voicemails or get into my email or anything like that. So, you know, similar reasons.
So I have not done that yet, and I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's probably not a bad idea. I have my laptop password protected.
Because I put the password protection on my phone.
I do like the Android password, though, because it's the little finger swipe.
Yeah, I do have a lot of saved passwords in my phone. I don't like typing them in every time, even though I know that's the right thing to do. You know, I do the ones I go into a lot, I keep saved on there. And so.
And you don't have them saved in a password protected place?
No.
You just have them like in a document or something?
No, I just have them saved in the browser, is what I mean.
Oh,
so when I log into places, it goes straight to it. And when I get into that, that's
Yeah, and so then that leaves you open if the phone gets found.
Yep, exactly. So,
and with the Android little dot swipe thing where you create a pattern.
Right.
You only get, what, like 3 or 4 wrong swipes? Yeah. And then what does it do?
It locks you out for a short amount of time first. I think it's 15 minutes or something. I can't remember exactly how it
works.
Before
you can try again.
In fact, I haven't even done it on 2.1. But yeah, it seems like it locks you out for 15 or 20 minutes. And then if you do it wrong again, then it locks you out. I think 3 more times you do it wrong again, it locks you out for an hour. And it's I think
what if you forget your swipes, though?
I'm sure there's a way around it, but I haven't read about it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Learn that, because we're probably going to get that question eventually.
Yeah.
So we'll have to ask that.
Yeah.
All right, let's answer another couple quick questions. I think I'm going to make it, we answered 2 United States questions, one about Farmville and one about taxes. And so I don't consider those either of those great questions, although the Farmville person did give us $1, so that's appreciate that. And 33 cents of that dollar went to PayPal. But that's okay. So I'm going to make this foreign day. And we're going to do all these foreign questions first. So this one is from Praveen in India using Windows XP. I do not have the YouTube Labs feature in the Labs buttons. How do I get in Gmail settings, Lab settings? Please tell me. All right. And that's a good question, because settings used to be front and center in Gmail, where you could make changes and go into what's called Google Labs. But they now have kind of changed the little toolbar, and there's a little gear in the upper right-hand corner. When you're logged into your Gmail account, there's a little icon that looks like a little gear. And when you click that gear, then you can click Mail Settings. And then once you're in the Mail Settings, you will see the Labs, you know, about midway over. And the question he was asking about is a YouTube feature. I'm going to see how far down in the list it is. There's quite a few things in Lab. And if you haven't explored Labs, I have a video on helpmerick.com showing you how to customize and use the Labs feature in your Gmail, because it really is a nice thing. And I don't see it off the top of my head here. Ta-da-da-da-da. But there's a Labs feature that lets you play YouTube videos without having to go out to YouTube.
Cool.
And it's YouTube. Yeah, so I just don't have it sitting.
Huh.
You know what?
What's that? Did they take it out?
It may not even be there anymore.
Wow.
Because I'm looking here.
Do you think maybe it's just incorporated into Gmail now?
It could be. Maybe that's why it's not there. But
you know, that's one cool tip. Anybody who doesn't know about Google Labs, any of the Google Labs, not just the ones in Gmail, but you can go into Google, and when you're at google.com, you'll see where it says search and maps and all news and all of that across the top above the Google logo. Well, there's a thing that says more, and you click on that, and under more, there's an option to go to even more. You click on that even more link.
Overwhelmed.
You'll be taken to all sorts of stuff Google does, but one of those areas is Google Labs. And it might just be Labs. Is it google.com/labs, do you think? Try it.
Probably.
Let's see.
Probably. I'll try.
But the Google Labs area is the area where the people who work at Google are always trying new things. And as their experience, it is. Okay, so google.com/labs. And as they experiment with this stuff, it's solid enough to release and have people test, but it's not, you know, it's still in beta, basically. So you can go into Google Labs and you can find all kinds of cool stuff. And it changes from time to time, because Google, unlike some companies, Microsoft is a good example of this. Microsoft will stay determined to do something, and they will go on and on and on and on with it. And even though the market seems to say, we don't want that, Microsoft will continue to push it. Then it gets released to the public, and then the public says, we don't want that. And then Microsoft says, oh, you know, we just wasted a bunch of money. Google, on the other hand, will test it out for a long time, and if it doesn't work, they scrap it. And if it's losing the money, they scrap it. So Google has done that a lot with things, and that's one thing I really admire about Google, is they really do quit when necessary, and when they're failing at something, they do go around. We have a good example.
There's a lot of new stuff in here, too.
Oh, yeah, all the time. What was the one, the Google program that had the divided screen and you could share your screen? What was that even called? I can't remember what that was called now. Where you had like the live screen while you typed, and Everybody thought it was going to be this big deal.
Oh, you mean...
what was the name of that?
Boy, I even forgot it now, too.
Yeah, see?
It was their answer to social networking.
Yeah, well, Google kind of. Buzz. Yeah. No, not Buzz.
Not Buzz?
Buzz is still there. Buzz is still there. But remember the other one that was like
sort of. Buzz, they've...
Well, yeah, but it still exists.
Yeah.
But then there was that other one that was the screen sharing one, and everybody thought it was this big deal because you could type and see what was the other person was typing on their screen while they typed it.
Yeah,
you could share documents and
one.
Share your screen. And you'd remember it if you saw it. So anyway, they made a big deal of it. We even got excited about it when it was announced because it looked kind of cool. And then we
get
got
excited
into
about
it.
A lot of things.
Then we got into it and it didn't work.
I don't know if you saw my tweet, speaking of getting excited about things. But I tweeted last week that Adam and I were text Americaning,
yes,
about 8-9 years ago, before Twitter was even a company,
before blogging was even something a lot of people even knew what it was.
That's true. And Text America, Adam and I were covering live events or big event. You know, we were covering CES, Comdex, things like that live via Text America, where we could take pictures. Way back when that was also a novelty. A photo phone.
Right.
Camera phone. And we would take pictures, and via text messaging, we could upload them to a website called Text America. And I believe we even figured out how to circle that back to our website, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had some cool stuff going on.
So we were doing some text slash photo blogging live from the floor of different types of things and different types of shows. And it was very cool. It was a neat service. It was a little clunky, but we interviewed the guy who owned it and started it and on our show. And it was a great service. We loved it. It was perfect for what we wanted to do. But really, it was Twitter.
The key. Oh, yeah.
It was Twitter.
It was.
They would have just had a better name and maybe just tweaked that a little bit, they could have probably been Twitter.
Yep.
So it's crazy. Did you find that flat?
It's Google Wave. You remember Google
Wave.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Well, that's not... Okay, well, what's Buzz?
Buzz is the social media... But Buzz is their...
They're kind of... I thought they were the same.
No. Google Buzz is like Google's Facebook Twitter thing.
Right.
It's just status updates and sharing articles and stuff like that. Google Wave was like this collaborative thing to where you could get three or four people together working on one document, or you could share photos or... whatever, and it would kind of combine stuff. And the idea was that they were going to start
Google Wave right there.
Yeah, they were going to start putting lots of plugins and stuff like that together.
Oh, that's the one.
Remember that?
Nobody
understood how to use it or what it would be good for. And Google hoped people would find a use for it.
Yeah. So here I am in 2009. Says here I am over here on this Wave thing. You got any ideas?
Yeah. So it's shut down now. It doesn't exist. But that was a huge thing. I mean, that to me is a great example of Google going all in with something, realizing it's not going to work, and not pushing it any further. They didn't say, well, wait, let's give it two more years. And
yeah, you could embed.
Let's change the interface. Let's do this. They didn't put any more money in it. They said, you know what? This is, nobody's doing this. It's, you know, it's a joke. Let's quit and let's go on to something else.
The funny thing is I can still do it, Adam. I can start a brainstorm with you right now.
It exists, but Google is not developing for it. And
well, and the other thing that they really did that was not good is when this first came out,
right?
They automatically implemented it for all Gmail users.
No, that was Buzz.
Was that Buzz?
That was Buzz.
It wasn't Wave?
No.
Oh,
Google
brother.
Wave was hard. Google Wave, you had to have invites to get into, and it was really hard to get in. They only let a few people in at a time.
Yeah, that is.
Google
right.
Buzz still exists. Google right. Buzz is still part of your Gmail and all of that.
But it's not used much either.
It's not used
you
much.
Use it?
But no, I never use it.
Okay.
No, but some people use it to feed their Twitter into it or something like that, just to give one more place on the internet for their status updates. But
did you know that there's a My Tracks for Android? Do you know what that is? To Android, you can use your Android to record GPS tracks and monitor your performance.
Cool. No, I didn't know that. There's several apps like that, but I didn't know that one was there.
There's a new beta version of Picasa for Mac. That's old, though. That's from 2009. Okay, another question. This one is from London. I'm assuming London, England, and not London, London, Oklahoma, because there is a London, Oklahoma.
Right.
So this Alex could be tricking me. Because he knows I like to answer questions from overseas. Anyway, he says, this problem has occurred to me a few times before, understandably due to a bad internet connection and a bad PC. I have recently purchased a MacBook with Snow Leopard. It is a very powerful piece of kit. Not something that sounds like English.
Right.
Not something I would assume would have this problem. The problem occurs while streaming. A video can stream in seconds, but the video doesn't flow properly, as if it's missing a few frames per second. Hmm. Let's use YouTube as an example. The higher the quality, the less the video flows smoothly.
Right.
But if I start moving the mouse constantly over the video, it flows perfectly.
Hmm. I've heard of that before.
As much as this is a solution, every time I want to watch something in HD, I don't want to have to sit there and constantly shake the mouse over the video. I wonder if you have a solution. So that's kind of interesting. I'm going to say, too, though, he said that a few times before it was understandably due to a bad internet connection and a bad PC. And he says he now has a new powerful MacBook with Snow Leopard, but he does not say his that internet. He's replaced his internet connection.
Right.
And especially if you're watching HD video from YouTube or anywhere on the web, you really have to have a bare minimum, a 1.5 megabit connection. And if your connection is not flowing at least at 1.5 megabit, and preferably for HD, I'm going to even say 5 to 7.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because that 1.5 is...
That's becoming
entry level. You have to kind of let it buffer, and it usually degrades the quality a little bit. If you're doing Netflix on YouTube, you know, you still have to let it buffer a lot. So, that 5 to 7.
I have no idea what shaking the mouse is doing.
Well, see, I've heard of that before, and I don't know exactly what it is either. It could be the other thing I would do is I would try a different browser. If he's using Safari, try using Google Chrome or Firefox. Netflix now works in any of them, or YouTube, if he's talking about that, it works in any of them. Try a different browser too, because I almost wonder if that has something to do with it. It's a plug-in problem.
And I would say also, make sure you've downloaded the latest version of Adobe Flash Player.
Yes.
Because on your Mac especially, very rarely will you see the Adobe Flash Player come up and ask for an update.
Right.
But if you go out to adobe.com and then just click on Get the Adobe Flash Player, that's going to be another thing to make sure you have the latest version of it, since most of the things you're streaming are using Adobe Flash Player. And the new version is 10.2, which rolled out a few weeks ago also. A lot of things have rolled out this spring.
Yeah.
So, yep. And 10.2 is supposed to be faster, and it's supposed to be more secure.
Here's another thing. There's a boxy iPad app now.
Ooh.
That's kind of attractive, isn't it?
Cool.
I just saw that in the news.
You currently do not own a Boxy, is that correct?
No, but Boxy is actually software. The name Boxy is actually a piece of software that you run on Linux machines and stuff like that to turn your computer.
Buy that, right.
Yeah, it turns your computer into what's free. It's open source.
Well, that's what I mean. But you get it and then you can use it however you want.
You use it to turn your TV into a DVR and into a streamer for YouTube videos and stuff like that. So that's what it's for. And then they've taken the Boxy software and built it into a small box. Netgear, one of those, I think it's Netgear, put it together, did that. Mm-hmm. And so you can buy that Boxy box, but really Boxy is the software. So now there's a version of Boxy available for iPad, that'll be pretty cool. We'll see what we can do with it.
I was still kind of browsing through the Google Labs in between takes here.
Sure.
And I saw that they have on some of the labs, it says graduated. If some of the things have made it to final... Or they're actually using it. It says graduated on it.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. What else do you have in the news? Anything news happening?
I'm looking and I'm not seeing a whole lot. Nope. Oh, there's a Windows Phone 7 update coming next week for all our Windows Phone 7 users. But not really a lot going on here. So we may be just about time to wrap it up.
Well, I will say if you're using Google Calendar.
Yes.
Which I recommend highly.
Me too.
And if you're sitting at your desktop a lot, they do have a really cool little lab feature that says when your next meeting is. And it counts and it counts it down.
Now, here's a Google...
I've been using that for a while.
Here's a Google Calendar tip that some people... Google, if you use Gmail.
Okay.
If you use Gmail and Google Calendar, and somebody emails you and says, we're having a meeting at 5:30 next Tuesday, can you make it?
Right.
You can... Right-click, or is it right-click? I think it's a right-click on the message. Or no, you can at least drag it over to your calendar over on the right-hand panel that you have there. Move it over to your calendar, and it will automatically make an appointment there. It'll come up with a little window. It grabs the content from your message and puts it 5 p.m. next Tuesday and then puts the body of the message in there.
Right.
It's very, very cool. And I think a lot of people don't realize that's there.
And on that right pane, when you, let's say you order something from Amazon.
Right.
And then they send you the tracking number.
Right.
If you look in the right-hand pane, Google sees that tracking number and it'll have a link so you can immediately click on it.
Yep.
And the same thing like you're saying with the calendar, if it sees a date and time mm-hmm. in there, it'll be on the right-hand side and says, do you want to add this to your calendar?
Right. It's
so very keep an eye cool. on that.
Yeah.
One quick tip while we're talking about settings and Gmail, and I do this for a lot of my clients when I'm in their homes or offices, but we talked earlier for the gentleman that was in India, to get into mail settings, you click on the gear, then click mail settings. And one way to clean up, just very slightly, but it does clean it up, there's a little set of ads that run on the top of your inbox, on the top of all your yep. list. And what they call that is a web clip. And it's supposed to also scroll through things you have on your iGoogle page, if you have an iGoogle page. But very rarely do I see things that I want to click on. So it's just one little extra little distraction that mm-hmm. some people get. And you can actually uncheck the box that says show web clips above the inbox.
Very cool.
And that way it just cleans it up a little bit. Cool. I may have to put that in as a actual tip at helpmerick.com.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Because you do see ads. People always get a little bit freaked out that there's ads in Gmail. I don't know if it's just because we're nerds or what, but I never see ads.
I never notice them.
Yeah. I have the ability to just
look right past
look
them.
Look past them.
Yep.
They're just part of the landscape to me.
Yep.
It's the same with you?
Yeah. Yeah. The here's something kind of cool that happened to me the other day. Do you have
no, more go ahead.
On that? Okay. We were at one of the craft stores here in town. And this craft store, like, you okay?
No, I was just saying the wind is coming up at the end of the day. Cool. I didn't know it.
But anyway, these craft stores, along with a lot of other stores out there, are starting to issue coupons via email.
I'm fine.
You are? What is it?
Because you said, am I okay? Like something was wrong.
Oh, okay. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
No, you just perk your head up and look around. It's like, you know, like our dog does when somebody drives exactly right. by and you're like, whew, what's going on?
I did. That's exactly what I did.
It's funny. Our dog can detect when there's a car with a dog in it before the car even drives by. I mean, that dog just looks up and sure enough, you know, 3 seconds later, here comes a car with a dog driving by.
Uncanny.
It's amazing. Anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
Back to that. But you know how a lot of these stores, you know, brick and mortar stores are starting to issue coupons via mm-hmm. email.
Uh-huh.
And the coupons have a barcode and you have to print out the email and then take it to the store.
Right.
Well, this craft store said that there's some people going through and a lot of companies now are going through and selling and implementing scanners that will work with your cell phone, barcode scanners.
Right.
And so the old ones wouldn't work. When you use those red laser scanners that create the little red line,
right.
all those do is shine through the screen of your cell phone.
Okay.
These new ones will actually scan regular screen.
Right, what's
on. And they'll see it. So be watching for that. And if you see these, you know, sign up for coupons via email, couple tips. First, sign up for it using an alternate email address. Don't sign up using your main email address.
Uh-huh.
But also just keep that in mind that a lot of times if you forget to bring the coupon, if you can access your email from your cell phone, you'll be able to just hold up your cell phone and they'll be able to scan it and get your discount there. So we've become a... We're shopping hackers in our family. Cool. So we've, we're one of these
people. Are you doing one of the virtual wallets where you, instead of have to carry around all the...
There's an iPad app.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff that we're using for it now. Yeah.
For your smartphones, too.
Yeah.
They're called a smart wallet. So
right.
that you don't have to carry around all your award cards.
Right.
And club cards and things
yeah,
like
I haven't
that.
Started doing that one yet. But yeah, but now that the barcode scanners will work with those things, it's mm-hmm. a good possibility. Yeah.
Cool. That's cool.
So, yeah, it's very cool.
Hey, we've talked about this last year when we were helping people save money with college about renting your textbooks.
Right.
And how that's a huge business, or buying used books
mm-hmm.
online. And one of the largest one is called Chegg,
Chegg.
And there's an article today at the New York Times technology section that says Chegg, they start this out as Chegg is known as the Netflix of college textbooks.
Right.
I didn't realize they were considered the biggest.
They're big.
Apparently
yeah.
they are.
Yeah.
They've raised over $200 million in debt and equity. It's kind of an odd thing to say. But anyway, they've just announced today
What does that mean? I've raised about $2 million in debt, too. What a big deal.
I could do that pretty easy. But it says that with increasing competition from scrappy startups like BookRenter.com, Chegg is on Thursday announced that they are unveiling a new website that, in addition to their rentals and selling used books, they are helping students to select courses and to study.
Huh.
So the president...
That's the wrong way to go, I think.
You think so?
What do you think?
I don't know. Well, the president of the company says, we're aspiring to be relevant to students every day of their college experience.
Right.
So they want you at the website to be able to figure out what classes to take. I guess they're going to give you study things. They're going to let students see reviews of courses and professors written by other students. Students can also see when a class meets so they can plan their schedule. They can also see who among their friends have signed up for a given course. The distribution of grades, if the course is going to be hard or not, and of course, which textbooks are required.
You know, I don't know. I really think digitizing the textbooks and shorter term rentals, things like that, I think that's the way to go with it. Not this advising thing, because they have college advisors for this. They don't necessarily, and how are they to choose which courses and all of that to do? But the one thing that I see with my textbooks, because I rent my textbooks, is they rent them to me for a very long time, for one thing. But then a lot of times, there's a textbook that I bought for my class that I really needed the first 2 weeks. And after that, it's just kind of tapered off. So I spent $35-40 on this book. And I bought this one because it was cheaper used than it was to rent it. And I really haven't needed it since. And I occasionally need it, but I don't need it that often. And I think that there is a market for a more flexible way of renting books, where you can rent a chapter, or you can rent it for 3 days, you know, so you can cram before a test or something like that. I think that's where there's a lot of value that's not being used by these textbook rental places. They want to rent it to you for, you know, an entire semester. And I don't think they're really looking at the lifestyle of the students, and there's some money they could really make there by doing very short-term rentals or only renting parts of the books instead of doing the whole book for however many days.
And that brings me to, you probably saw another light bulb go off in my head as you were talking about books and flexible renting.
Right.
There was a big story this week. Well, big story because I follow these kinds of things, but it may have gotten glossed over in the larger scheme of things. But there's no doubt that the Amazon Kindle has been a hit device.
Yeah, right.
Lots and lots of people have bought the Amazon Kindle.
Right.
There was a company called, I'm trying to find it right now very quickly, called Lendle, L-E-N-D-L-E, that used one of the APIs, which is a way to program on different operating systems. But it was a public API that Amazon had put out there. Well, this company put out a little application called the Lendle that allowed you to share books with other Kindle users. And I think, didn't Kindle have something kind of built in like
no,
that
No, that's
too?
Nook. Well, Nook has that built
that.
In.
Yeah, Nook has that built in. Kindle does not. So this company created it called Lendle. Well, earlier in the week, Amazon put a kibosh on that. They blocked it. But because Amazon users were very outspoken about the fact they did that, they reinstituted it.
What is Amazon thinking? Why is Amazon not buying this company right now?
And utilizing that.
Yeah.
Because, again, I think that's another... I don't understand when companies get so... They hold things so close to their vest, they don't see the forest for the trees, I think.
Right. I think they're starting to change, but you're right.
Yeah, I think that if I had a Kindle... I had the ability to share with other people. That's what we do with real books.
Right.
And we're buying those books anyway. So it's not like you're missing out on a sale. I think it opens up even more opportunity.
I mean, it opens up to reading new authors and reading stuff that you normally wouldn't read because you don't have to pay full price for the book. Yeah. No, I think.
Did you see that story this week?
I did. I saw that it was killed and then I saw that it was quickly put back, but I didn't read all the details. Now, the other thing too, I mean, we saw this with the Kinect this year too.
Right.
To where, and I think companies are starting to catch on. And it's, you know, I know that there's this all argument with almost anything in society. Well, they're going to do it anyway. So let's make it so we can regulate it or whatever. But really, I think we're starting to see that really happen in technology. And it's taken a long time for companies to really catch on that, you know what, people are going to jailbreak their phones anyway. So why not, you know, make it make it something that's safer for them to do, or something that they can reverse or whatever. And now we're seeing that with the Kinect, where they went out, they hacked the Kinect, they went crazy with it, they found all these cool uses that Microsoft never dreamed of, and Microsoft said, stop hacking the Kinect. That's not going to stop anything. It only drove up sales and made people want it more. And so Microsoft came out and said, well, let's produce a software development kit for it so that people can experiment with it. And that way we have a part of that license if anything comes from that. So, that's a really smart way to go. And I think more companies will start doing that as they realize it's a way to find success.
It's because it is about people connecting with each other.
Right.
Not to make any references to the Kinect. It wasn't
right. No,
it wasn't a pun.
It wasn't a pun. I got you.
It wasn't a pun. All right, a couple more questions. We're going to go back to Yemen now. And this is Nizhanth. And Nizhanth says, is it possible to insert picture instead of the given text? I've seen that. My brother sent that to me. Is it possible to insert a picture? In fact, I think I sent it to you, didn't I?
No, I don't remember seeing it. That's funny.
Is it possible to insert a picture instead of given text? Now, Nizhanth did not tell me where he wants to do that, or she wants to do that. Is it possible to insert a picture?
You know, that question even sounds familiar. I'm almost wondering if they emailed us that once before.
I don't know. I don't know where they're talking about.
Yeah. If it's in email, then yes. If it's in a Word document, then yes. But how you do it changes depending on the program. So we need more information on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that is.
Good.
Let's see. I got a person that wants to put a guest post article on our website from the UK. So I'm going to delete that one. And then we have two more foreign questions. This one's from France. And using Windows XP, the person says, my computer has started to loose the internet connection. Boy, and I almost don't want to answer this question.
Okay.
But because he or she is from France,
I'm going to assume
they don't know the English language very well.
Right.
Because it really irritates me when people misuse the word loose and lose.
Oh, yeah.
Please spell it correctly, people. They're two distinctly different
words with different
meanings.
Right.
But anyway, this person says, my computer has started to loose the internet connection every time I use a video service this is kind of similar to another question. Like YouTube, for example, I can get back the service, but I need to reinitiate my cart réseau every time.
Oh, the cart réseau.
Whatever that is. I was thinking I'm being blocked from certain access, but I'm sure there is a way to put computer back to factory settings like a mobile telephone. If no, what should I try? Wow, so there's a little bit of French in there addition to the loose. So I'm not going to give him a real hard time.
Sure.
Because of the language barrier. And so I give him credit for A, being at our site, and B, put it in English. But it sounds to me, again, very similar to the previous question we answered about streaming video. And boy, I think we're seeing every single day that video is becoming bigger and bigger on the internet. And what's happening is that our connection speeds are not keeping up with the needs of a high speed internet. And in Europe now, I'm never been to Europe, but from what I understand, a lot of the high speed in Europe is cellular high speed.
Yeah.
And I know that their cellular speeds are a little faster than us, but maybe in some cases it's not fast enough to stream high quality video, HD video.
Well, and you're also dealing with different protocols too. I mean, there's things that, you know, every country has its own little regulations on the internet and how things are supposed to work. I mean, you go to Canada, you can't watch a lot of, you know, Hulu or Netflix or whatever. I mean, that's just the only difference is a border between us and the United States, but that crossing that border is enough to affect what you can see online and how you see it. So you get overseas and you're dealing with all kinds of protocols from both Europe and from, you know, France itself. So everything kind of changes. So it's hard to say whether this is a technology problem or whether this is an internet problem as a whole. So
yeah,
it's hard to tell.
That would be a question we'd have to actually troubleshoot in person.
Yeah.
To see exactly what's going on.
Send us tickets.
Based on the question I'm thinking, send us tickets.
Is your passport updated?
It is, actually.
Is it? I don't even
I've never
have a
used
passport.
It.
I need one.
I've never used it, but I would like to.
Good.
No, I did have to use it when I went to Alaska because we had to go through Canada. So yeah. You had to show it in Canada.
They got
to
find a way around that. We got to do a big dig.
Yeah, a big dig. or just annex.
Yeah, that's right. Just annex a small, you know, like a narrow strip of all Canada. The way through Canada. Doesn't have to, just a road.
The Alcan.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Alcan Highway.
That's right.
It already has Alaska in the name. So.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. This is the last question, and again, this is a foreign section of our questions, is from Washington, D.C., and I consider it a foreign area.
Yeah, of course.
This gentleman is using Windows 7's John. Using Windows 7, he has two wireless USB adapters. But when he uses either one of them, he does not find any wireless connections.
Oh.
Now, he doesn't say if this is a desktop or a laptop, but I'm assuming because he's using a USB adapter in his Windows 7 that it's a desktop.
Right.
He says he's already tried resetting the router, reinstalling, updating drivers for his adapters, but neither worked. However, when I plug either into my other computer, they work fine. Any help as to why this could be occurring would be greatly appreciated. So the one thing I would say, if he knows the adapters work, he's done all the new drivers, in Windows 7, go into the Network and Sharing Center, and then go into Manage Network Devices. So go into Network and Sharing Center, Manage Network Devices. When you have the wireless adapter plugged in, it could be coming up disabled for some reason or another. So right-click on your particular wireless device. Don't plug them both in at the same time either. It kind of, there's an illusion here that he may be, or he's alluding to, I should say, that he's got them both plugged in at the same time. But you want to have one at a time, and then right-click on that adapter and make sure it's enabled. And if that still doesn't work, what I would do is go through and uninstall both adapters software completely, reboot the computer, and then plug in one at a time, plug them, you know, only one at a time, and reinstall the new software that you downloaded from the manufacturer. All right, I think, Adam, should we wrap it up here pretty quick?
I think so.
Do you have anything else that come up?
I think we're at a good stopping point there. And I'm going to leave a lot of good stuff.
I'm going to leave folks with an article here that just came up in the tech news, and Hans Rosling.
Yes.
How the Washing Machine Sparked the Reading Revolution.
Ooh.
And it says, we love statistical stuntsman Hans Rosling. Last year, he mesmerized us with a phenomenal augmented reality run through 200 years that changed the world in 4 minutes.
Wow.
So it's kind of a little thing.
Cool.
In his Joy of Stats series. Oh, I remember this. I saw this online, and it was on a TED video, too. But anyway, it was considered, by this gentleman anyway, the greatest invention of the 20th century. That sparked the whole Industrial Revolution.
The washing machine?
The washing machine.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm going to leave our tech show with that.
The cotton gin, too. I got to say, the cotton gin is important. But
that's U.S. history.
The washing machine is... Well, it is, but it still changed. It sparked the Industrial Revolution. I mean, it really was...
It's true.
Very common. You know, if we were to have a vote, the cotton gin would certainly be there.
Would be up there.
Yeah. More than the washing machine. But I'm sure
as opposed to the polyester gin.
Yeah, well, see, I can see...
Or just gin.
Here's the cotton machine... I mean, sorry, the cotton. The washing machine probably started the Industrial Revolution in the home. The cotton gin, though, I think started the Industrial Revolution...
Period.
I mean, it's really when machines started replacing people was during the cotton gin.
And the light bulb.
Well, yeah, the light bulb made it... Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you can... I mean, that's the thing, is when people start talking about the Industrial Revolution, they start... Everybody starts at a different place, and right. So I'm arguing the cotton gin. You're arguing
I'm going to say the iPad. Bulb.
Definitely the iPad. The iPad. Nothing would exist without the iPad. That's for sure. So,
all right. Well, cool. I think this after a slow start. I think we got a little bit of rolling. We got a little bit rolling today, and
yep.
I'm glad we got up early and did this. And we did get a suggestion on Twitter that you and I should record video while we're doing this, and then during the production of it, use a video editing software to match up the voice.
Nope. We'll do it. We'll do it if we can find a sponsor.
That's right. That's the thing.
If people want to sponsor the show,
but we still try to keep it as easy as possible.
I would do it. Yeah. I have no problem. I love doing the editing. But I don't love doing it for free.
That's right.
It's a lot of time to spend doing something when you're not making any money at it. So, sure.
Today we got paid 67 cents.
Yeah, 67 cents is pretty good. That'll get you about, I'd be willing to give you even 67 seconds worth of editing for that 67 cents for now. That's not going to go across the board, but yeah.
We need sponsors. We need cashola. Adam and I are not independently wealthy.
We should start taking commercial breaks.
I did when I stopped at a gas station yesterday to go to the bathroom. I did decide. I saw there was a new game there. I haven't heard of Mega Millions. Have you heard of Mega Millions?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of Powerball.
Like a lottery game?
Yeah, I'd never heard of it.
Uh-huh.
So it was up to 317.
Okay.
Million.
Did you play it?
So I bought a ticket.
Good. Did you win?
I don't know. I don't even know when the drawing is.
Okay.
So I don't either. I've got to look at the little sheet.
Maybe it's one of those multi-state lotteries.
So if we win that, you will start seeing very quickly the HD podcast of Adam and I.
Absolutely.
I'll have to get a toupee. Adam will start combing his hair.
Yeah.
And we'll brush our teeth before we come in the morning.
Put something on besides pajamas.
That's right. We'll get our fuzzy slippers off, and we will do a HD video. We'll even clean up Adam's room here a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it'll be happening. So if I win the Mega Millions.
We'll probably broadcast high atop of the towers of Grand Junction at a new
Alpine
studio.
We'll get a little studio on top of Alpine broadcast. Bank.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be very cool. We'll even travel the world doing that. We'll do remote podcasts.
Right.
We'll go to France and help Frankie there with his question on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we have no problem doing that. I'll get a passport.
So Mega Millions, draw my numbers.
There
whatever
you go.
You're drawing them, draw my numbers.
Take. Yep, that's it. We'll take the mobile Castellini mobile around and broadcast live from everywhere.
And that mobile will be some kind of a jet with Wi-Fi.
Right. That's right. That's right. Cool.
All right. Have a great day, and thanks for listening. Tune in all the time. Listen to us at helpmerick.com or talkingdigital.org. Talking Digital.